So when we talk about heart, we talk about love. As in my mind, I can't just separate the two. Even though the path of love can be very winding and irregular, but it's also unconditional with beautiful moments.
Yeah.
As these moments and experiences are for you to keep. But also healing from a loss, grieving from a loss. There are stages of grief that may reoccur. Even after we think that we have completely healed ourselves of it. And as this Persian proverb has it, he who wants the rose must respect the thorn. What can really heal a wounded heart is caring and more love. But also there are other green allies that can be of absolute support to us.
Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode.
Hi everyone, hope you all are doing fine.
So without wasting any time, let's get started, because as always, we have just half an hour.
Yeah.
We are trying to limit our podcast to just half an hour so that we don't make it really boring for you all, because I understand that talking a lot about health, wellness, and it can get boring for a lot of people and a lot to process.
Yeah. But I think we always aim to keep it at a sweet spot of 20 minutes.
Well, that's impossible.
Yeah, we do extend those 10 minutes.
Right. So today we are going to talk about emotions. Yeah. And why is it that, and we have a huge problem in a way where we have, as we spoke in the last episode, that we have, we are not just present in the physical version of ourselves, but we are also present in other, there are other versions of ourselves, or there are other parts of ourselves, a body of ourselves, however you'd like to think of it as. There is a physical, there is a bioelectromagnetic, which is a second body. Again, this is not in hierarchical form or anything. And then the third body is a mind or the mental body. And then we have the intuitive or the wisdom body. And then finally, we have the soul.
Yeah.
So if you think that emotion, just suppressing emotions is just going to solve the problem, that's nowhere close to it. In fact, you're highly mistaken if you're thinking that. And we are going to talk about today that why is that so? Why just holding these emotions? How does it cause a problem even in the physical body, right? And how it's even driving our behavior.
Yeah.
And our choices and our actions or our responses to certain events in our life. And Juhi will be discussing some hopes that she has. And with all of this, we'll be touching upon like the physical body, the bioelectromagnetic body, because remember, herbs are most, in this case as well, they are working more on the electric body,
yeah,
the bioelectric body. And then, of course, we'll be talking about a little about the mind and about the brain waves and stuff. So with that, let's get started.
Amazing. Yeah, so with herbs, it's actually getting there. Before getting there, I think the first thing is that we need to understand that there is no separation between mind and body, right? Matter and spirit.
No, actually, you're right. There is no separation. The reason why we did yesterday to talk about five different bodies is not to separate them, but in to make you understand. Because if we don't separate them in order to make you understand, it's going to be really difficult for you all. In fact, even for us, when we got started with learning all these concepts, it's going to be really difficult for you all to grasp it.
Yeah. But then now, since we've crossed that path,
yeah,
and sort of maybe explained to you all well that what are these five healing levels that we have.
Five bodies.
We obviously, there are obstacles that we need to remove from the core when it comes to emotional healing, because that's where the truest healing lies.
Mm-hmm.
We can do things like we can address things like food sensitivities or nutritional deficiencies or sleep disturbances, which are pivotal and it needs to be a part of your life in a positive way.
Yeah.
But apart from that, this episode, we would actually be uncovering these different emotions that a person has, understanding the core fundamentals and how these emotions are manifesting in our lives. So let's begin with emotions. Our feelings, they play such a big role in how we live our life, how we connect with others. Sometimes it feels like our emotions are running the show, controlling us.
Actually, on that note, I have something to add.
Yeah.
So we think that we are running the show, as you said. You know, the conscious mind is running the show. Well, the conscious mind is highly mistaken, because what runs the show is actually a subconscious mind. As we live life, as we go along life, what records all this information to 100% accuracy, like every damn small information that you are not even aware you must have like seen, or maybe like a person around you wearing a blue t-shirt, some random stranger that when you were walking on the road, taking a walk, your conscious mind is not going to register that or remember that, but your subconscious mind has registered that. So it registers everything. And what happens is that subconscious mind is what feeds the conscious mind. So whatever thoughts you're having is a part of what the subconscious mind is passing on to you, not 100%, because as you remember that we all are energy beings and we have energy fields and thoughts are vibrations, and other people around you are also thinking thoughts. That means they are giving out vibrations, and those vibrations are interacting with your energy fields, and you're getting thoughts from outside. So it's your thoughts from your subconscious, and it's also the thoughts from other people, right? Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is that this is not something new, but let's say you come home after a long drive, and if I were to ask you, how's the drive? Explain me what all happened along the way. In most cases, you'll be like, I didn't even realize how I got to my destination. You know, no one remembers the whole drive. So this is how your subconscious mind is actually at the driver's seat. And yeah, it's
so
not your conscious mind.
You're on autopilot, basically.
Exactly. So if you are suppressing emotions instead of...
processing them.
Yeah, instead of processing them, then what these emotions are going to do is that... And all these emotions are actually stored in the limbic system of the brain. And that's also like a part of your subconscious.
And from there, you're taking these decisions,
exactly.
Things you're doing, and how you're perceiving the world around you.
Mm-hmm.
There are then these different types of emotions that we would be talking now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one, I mean, like, it's not like the first one or anything. I mean, these are just different types, and I would be talking about three of them. Anger, fear, shame, embarrassment, disgust, happiness, sadness, which also includes grief and depression, surprise, pride, and excitement. But first, let's get on to fear, an overdose of caffeine. So, because I think with examples and anecdotes, people do understand how these emotions are trickling down in their body and how it's physiologically affecting them.
Yeah, and before you get to that, I'll add another thing that let's say you have an emotion. Now remember that even emotion is a form of energy, and we are energy beings, and everything around us and us including is energy and vibrations.
Yeah.
So when we are storing energy, when we are suppressing energy within ourselves, it's being suppressed somewhere. Those vibrations, those tense energies are being stored in our energetic system, which then in a way is impacting the nervous system in the long term, because the nervous system is what connects our physical to the electromagnetic body, and it's a part of both. And so what this happens is, you know, as it shifts the nervous system, it shifts the entire biochemistry. And so you can imagine the mind, from the mind, because it's an emotion, it's trickling down to the bioelectric body. And you know, any kind of, because since we are energy, so any form of energy which is undesired, if it is stored for too long, in the body, it can form into a abnormality in a tissue or anything. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, of course. Because then that energy creates a tissue state which is tense and constricted.
Hmm.
And the body, over time, it just wants to shove it away. Because the signaling between your mind and the body is cut off, at least in that part.
Yeah.
Where there's constriction. So there's no new blood going in there, no new information, no new immune cells are going in
there. That as well. And then that automatically becomes stagnant.
Yeah.
And then since there is no oxygen over there, you know what happens next. I really don't need to see anything. I mean, you all do understand.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get on to this example of fear and overdose of caffeine. Now, since coffee contains caffeine and it's an alkaloid, it helps us to keep us awake, nothing new. It keeps us very focused. But if you're overdosing it from a capitalism point of view, it can certainly make us narrow-visioned. It can decrease our non-linear way of thinking and creativity. It can make you feel more agitated, more fearful. Either of the emotions can be pronounced in this case. And this has been my own personal experience with 2 cups of coffee. So my mind is like completely on a roll and I can't think calmly. I become too rational and my words can actually very well hurt people around me. So it's like coffee is having an agency over me. As guilty as charged, but that's me and I'm owning it though. But that 1 cup of coffee in the morning is like a medicine to me. It really kicks me off for a very beautiful day ahead. So, but then moving on, you know, from here. Just like caffeine, fear and overwhelm can also increase your norepinephrine. And that's your brain signaling that you're under grave stress and you need to fight or flight.
Yeah.
So as rightly pointed out by Sean Donoghue, which is another great herbalist, that in such situations, you tend not to make connections with other people. You want to be more alienated, more withdrawn. And actually this cycle sort of again, deepens your fear and overwhelm, or even aggression for that matter. But you know, with this anger, so with this anger and a lot of aggression, again, we need to know how we need to deal with it.
Yeah. And actually, before you continue, I just want to add one more thing, is that as we face these emotions and as we go about life, we are generally living in the beta brainwave state, right? And this brainwave state can be recorded as about 13, in between 13 to 35 hertz, mm-hmm. the brain waves, the vibrations. And so in this brainwave, we are more focused outward, right? But what we really need to do is that we need to work on all 3 levels.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to, because the manifestation of a suppressed emotion is going to lead to some physical issue.
Yeah.
I mean, health issue, illness, disease, whatever it is, symptoms. And you need to work and support those symptoms so that your body feels supported. Because physically, if you're not feeling well, it's going to be really hard for you to make a change on the mental level.
Yeah.
And everything in between. So what you need to do is you need to support the physical body and not treat it as just because you're having a supplement or doing something that it's going to work wonders and the problem is going to go away. You need to get to the root cause, and the root cause is in the mind. So then you need to start changing your brainwave by different practices. There are a lot of practices. There are like Tai Chi, there is meditation, there is even aromatherapy, there is anything that involves relaxation or slow movements or activation of parasympathetic mode. And this we can see is by changing the brainwave from beta to alpha, being more in alpha. And being in alpha means that you're slowing down your brainwave from the 13 to 35 hertz to like 8 to 12 hertz the range. And what you need to do is when you start doing this, when you start relaxing, you will start going more inward. And what you need to do is you need to be aware. You need to start not just going with the flow of life. Like everything is so repetitive. So you need to start living life and living in the now, not in the past, because that's where you have these emotions. And based on the emotion that you have been feeling in the past comes your fear and other emotions that you think about in the future. So you're always living in the past or you're living in the future, but you're never living in the present. So you need to live in the present and you need to think about why are these emotions coming to me? Because a lot of times people are not aware of these emotions that are buried inside them.
That's
right.
Yeah. And so, you know, in such cases, that's where, you know, a herbal medicine can be very effective.
Yeah.
Also, these herbs, you know, they are sort of gentle. So they just take the edge off and they keep you more grounded. Letting your mental and emotional heat pass through more smoothly. As behind tension, as Arjun just mentioned, there is some hidden unexpressed pain. And here, I would really recommend a person to use hawthorn. Hawthorn berry, hawthorn flower, leaf, like three drops or so, no more than that. And especially, why in this case is because when the outside world, as Arjun also mentioned before, is becoming more overwhelming.
Yeah, definitely.
Or when the person's own emotions and sensations are building up to a point where it remains unprocessed. In cases of autism or other neurodivergent problems. And personally, I also like another herb, which is motherwort, as it calls to me as a blanket, providing a blanket of oxytocin, protecting us from not just agitation, but also with a lot of agitation comes heart palpitation. It can manifest differently in many people.
It's like a symptom.
Yeah. It can be different for everyone, basically. So, then talking about heart palpitations, we have to get to the topic of heart.
Yeah.
And healing from the heart. Now, there are a barrage of words that can be attached to our heart, signifying a strong heart or a more open receptive heart or a grieving heart. Like, for example, heartache, heart wrenching, heartbreak, cold-hearted, hard-hearted, tender-hearted, half-hearted, heavy heart, learn by heart, heart's desire, home is where the heart is, sweetheart, heartthrob, heart-to-heart talk, etc. There are so many associations with heart. And we don't even think about these words when we are actually speaking of them, yet it's able to convey so much about our personality, our thoughts, emotions, actions. So let's take a few examples here because I think it makes understanding more easy and we can relate to the situation more coherently. That's how I feel. So when we talk about heart, we talk about love. As in my mind, I can't just separate the two. Even though the path of love can be very winding and irregular, but it's also unconditional with beautiful moments.
Yeah.
As these moments and experiences are for you to keep. But also healing from a loss, grieving from a loss. There are stages of grief that may reoccur. Even after we think that we have completely healed ourselves of it. And as this Persian proverb has it, he who wants the rose must respect the thorn. What can really heal a wounded heart is caring and more love. But also there are other green allies that can be of absolute support to us in times of emotional imbalances or upheavals. Like Kava Kava, which is Piper Methisticum. It's a wonderful plant for grief. As grief can really do very strange things to your body and can manifest as physical tension and pain especially in your back, head and chest. So Kava Kava really helps someone who's lost a valuable relationship and they are in a state of shock or turmoil. But it also really helps in conditions where the emotional upset is because you're saying your final goodbyes to someone or coming home to an empty apartment. But also in situations where you need that encouragement of having that open-hearted compassion and letting go or dampening your anger and bitterness.
Actually, once you enter the alpha state I was mentioning earlier, whether it's a meditative state or mostly in a relaxed state, when you're in that state, and since we are not very attuned towards being in that state, so it's always best to do it in a with your eyes closed, because then you're cutting off the visual elements which are keeping you from being in the alpha state for most of us, because we don't have practice. So once you're in that state, of course, those once you're going more deeper inside, you're changing your brain waves, you are going to be confronted with these buried emotions. Yeah. And at that point of time, rather than again evading them, what you really need to do is ask yourself, what did this situation, event, whatever it was that led you to have that emotion, what did it teach you? Don't let your emotion come inside. Don't let the drama of that event or situation or whatever it was affect you. As Juhi said, be compassionate, be loving, be...
It's tough. I can understand that.
I know, but it has to be dealt with.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why we're having this conversation today, right?
Exactly.
And for that matter, according to Phyllis Light, another great herbalist, she uses cleavers because it's a herb where for someone who is actually living their life half-heartedly, and that's also because of grief or some kind of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also help to soothe those sticky nerves and provide a soothing, restful sleep in cases of insomnia. Again, due to a stressful situation. And I think it's a good segue to yet another interesting topic, which is related to more mental health, and that's depression. But it roots it from an emotional state, which is sadness. And when someone is experiencing sadness for a prolonged period of time, he or she can experience depression. And depression is marked by complete emotional flatness, low energy, a general pessimism of why try anything when nothing has worked and nothing will work and nothing will make it better. And also along with that, I think with depression, lethargy gets attached to it. Because of low energy, you are lethargic, and every minor step that you want to take, it takes a lot of effort.
So just like, you know, people who, especially in the case of people who are overweight.
Yeah.
And they think of that, okay, you know, I feel low energy, I'm overweight, but there's more to the picture. Of course, you know, there is stuff, scientific stuff, there is stuff going on at the physical level, but then somewhere something is affecting that. So, I mean, again, we come from the nervous system, affecting the flight and fight mode, and the chronic high blood glucose levels, high insulin, person getting more weight, getting fatigued. But what is at the root of it? So if this person is trying to fix this issue of being fatigued or lethargic or whatever whatsoever, and saying that, oh, okay, what if I take a supplement which will give me more, or herbs that will give me more energy, and then I can go and throw myself in the gym, try and do something, go out and try and run. And then in the end, the person is still not losing weight in spite of doing diets and all of this. Why is this not working? It's not working because there is some emotional
baggage
that the person is carrying. So you need to go to the root cause.
And other symptoms also, like you can see void in their eyes. There's a monotone voice and they have little to no facial expressions. So, and also these people withdraw from other people. So they are more alienated that way. And here I would want to give a personal account of another herbalist named Jenny Solidago, who is also a wild crafter and a community herbalist, and how she successfully dealt with her depression. Herbs like a herb like St. John's wort, which is very famous for mild depression, it didn't cut for her. It didn't do anything for her. She also tried a month-long gratitude journaling. But then again, it helped her, but not so much to uplift her depression. Because then again, she said, like, the depression doesn't necessarily stem from a lack of gratitude. Rather, it's more like we aren't good enough for ourselves, or we have no agency over our own life to make our life better. She also tried exercises which generally suggested to people who are depressed. But even, yeah, that did help her physically, of course, because movement is celebration, but nothing close to, again, lifting her depression. But something interesting happened. Something came into her dreams. Now, it's no woo-woo. It's real hard fact. Like, it's her own experience. And actually, that offered her greatest healing. And it was a goldenrod elixir. The Latin name for goldenrod is Solidago Gigantea. And the elixir is a preparation of herbs, alcohol, and honey. So these brightly colored flowers infusing in honey was shining through half a gallon jar in front of her. And with a thunderous voice in the background saying, "Take golden rod for the heart." So she followed suit. And after a week, she found herself doing tasks that she had avoided due to the efforts it required. But she could also, almost like for 3 days, she could like completely live her life without golden rod being in her, you know, being as a part. So she was dealing her life in the most optimal way she could.
Right.
Yeah. And
just a heads up, we are running out of time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then again, what I'm trying to say is goldenrod really helps to strengthen our kidneys. And that's where we process full range of emotions, like our deepest traumas. We can also actually find out where are those sources of depressive states. And for the same reason, you can absolutely also experiment with black cohosh, especially for women. Before their periods, they do feel gloomy and depressive, and they think that they have a black cloud hovering over their head, following them everywhere. So it's a snake medicine, and it's used, actually it's signified to be used in cases where you're shedding old skin, which means where you're allowing the body to remove the dead or damaged skin cells and then replace them with new healthy cells.
And just one thing I like to add, like you mentioned about the dreams that came in her dreams and all these things.
Yeah.
So since we don't have enough time, but in the future episode, I will be covering that how these symbolisms, they are a part of our subconscious.
Yeah.
And that's a way of our subconscious to communicate with us. Also, since plants have consciousness and plants do also communicate with us. And
exactly,
with
that's
animals
what
and all of the other things. It's a very interesting thing to learn, which again we can talk about in another episode. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we end?
Yeah, just one line is that we do go through the phases of life in an ebb and flow manner, but even though, always remember that there are darkest times, I believe the worst will always recede.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one announcement to make before we end today's podcast. The coming Tuesday is the 23rd of April, and that was the day when my mom ascended. And so I would like to share this day with y'all in a way where I'll be scheduling a guided meditation session with all of y'all. So I'd really encourage you all to join in, and this will be aimed towards eliminating or letting go of emotions, basically emotional release. So I invite you all to join me on Tuesday. The event will be posted on all the places. You can check it out on Spotify, YouTube, everywhere, wherever you are listening to us. So with that, we bid adieu. Until then, be happy, be healthy. See you all next time.
See you all.